You can
Okay. Karen, you all set?
Yes, John, I am.
Okay. A good day, everybody. And happy holidays to you all. And I hope that 2023 is your best year yet for all of you. And with that, I will call the CROG Transportation Committee meeting for Monday, December 19, 2022 to order. And Karen, if you would be so kind to do the roll call, please.
Thank you, John. Good afternoon, everyone. Back with the town of Handover. Avon? Berlin? Bloomfield?
John Coleman here.
Karen, you put yourself on mute. We can't hear you after Bloomfield.
Oh, I'm sorry. My papers. Sorry.
No problem.
I'll start again. Town of Andover. Avon. Berlin.
Bloomfield. Here.
Oh, Chris. Thank you.
Bloomfield, John Coleman here.
Bolton. Canton.
Neil Pate here.
Columbia. Coventry.
Todd Penny here.
East Granby. East Hartford.
Todd Wilson here.
East Windsor.
Len Norton here.
Ellington.
Ken Radzwan here.
Enfield. Farmington.
Russ Arnold here.
Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington here.
Granby.
Kirk Severance.
City of Hartford.
Frank Delarupa here.
Owen Deutsch here.
Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here along with Matt Bordeaux.
What was his last name? I'm sorry.
Bordeaux. Like the wine.
Thank you. Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Manchester. So.
Jeff Lamalva here.
Marlborough. City of New Britain.
Rob Trottier here.
Newington. Plainville.
John Bossy here.
Rocky Hill.
Steve Soplak here.
Simsbury.
Adam Kessler here.
Summers.
Todd Rowland here.
South Windsor.
Jeff Doolittle here.
Southington.
David Norse here.
Stafford.
Evan Copperweight here.
Suffield. Tolland.
David Corcoran here.
Vernon. West Hartford.
Greg Summer here.
Wethersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington.
Troy Spizzato here.
Windsor.
Tom Jarvis here.
Is there anyone here from GHTD?
Emily Nacko.
And Paul McNamara.
Thank you. Yep. Is there anyone else from any town or organization?
Jonathan Tesey's here from Bloomfield.
Thank you.
Grayson Wright from CTDOT.
Jennifer Carrier, Federal Highway Administration.
Chuck nice, Carlo with Fuss and O'Neill.
Leslie Bielan from Way to Go.
And James Culpa from VHB.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? All yours, John.
Thank you, Karen. Welcome, everybody. Next item is the public forum. Is there anyone here from the public that wishes to address the committee at this time? Hearing none, seeing no hands up, we'll move on to adoption of minutes. of the Transportation Committee meeting held on October 24, 2022. I'd entertain a motion to so do.
So moved, Steve Soblack, Rocky Hill.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Dan Pennington.
Thank you, Dan. Are there any corrections, deletions, additions? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And abstentions, if you please just give your name and your town one at a time, please.
Todd Rowland, Town of Summers.
Any other abstentions? The minutes are approved as distributed. Thank you. Move on to staff reports. 60 seconds for safety. Roger.
Thank you, John. So I wanted to share the Connecticut Vision Zero Council recommendations that were finalized at their December 13th meeting. So the Connecticut Vision Zero Council is made up of commissioners from DOT, Public Health, Emergency Services, DMV, Department of Education, Department of Aging, and the State's Attorney's Office. And they have three subcommittees. So I'll briefly just touch on their recommendations. You'll be hearing more of them as the General Assembly meets, I'm sure, in the months ahead. So next slide, we have policy recommendation number one is from the Engineering Subcommittee. This would require a complete streets plan be submitted, adopted by each municipality in order to obtain certain funding from Connecticut DOT. Next slide is the recommendation number two is to clarify Connecticut DOT's authority to acquire land for trails. Certainly, currently there's some question as to DOT's authority legally to condemn property for multi-use paths. So they want that clarified. Next is a recommendation to adopt an ICE policy for intersection control evaluation. This is a common tool that Federal Highway endorses and many state DOTs use during the development of projects to identify a framework to screen alternatives for intersections as they develop, which is the best control method, you know, stop sign control, signals, roundabouts, that sort of thing. And next is slide four, recommendation four. This came in at the last minute, kind of from the engineering subcommittee, or it might have been not even from the subcommittee, but it's that to adopt that CONDOT should study specific traffic movement regulations, including how the Idaho stop could be legalized in Connecticut, as well as to study whether to prohibit right turn on red at intersections with crosswalks. So I hadn't been familiar with the Idaho stop, but apparently that allows bicycles to yield instead of stop at intersections where normally they'd be required to stop. So this would just require CONDOT to study those. And so those were the engineering recommendations. Next, the enforcement subcommittee had four recommendations. One, to enact a helmet law for all motorcycle riders. Two is to establish a fatal collision reduction team to engage in high visibility enforcement blitzes. So this would, the state police would identify locations, high crash locations, and then conduct high enforcement programs in data-driven locations where there are high crashes. Thirdly, implement automated traffic enforcement. This would be using technology such as cameras for speed enforcement and potentially red light running cameras at intersections. And fourth would be to enact a prohibition on open alcohol containers in motor vehicles. So those are the enforcement subcommittee recommendations. And then next were education subcommittee recommendations. One is to utilize schools to better educate children about road safety. Another one, number two, is to utilize the judicial system in driver re-education. This was aimed primarily at retraining drivers who had traffic violations, traffic offenders. Another recommendation, next slide, is number three, to increase the options for driver retraining. And this would be more specifically for example, for people who've had their driver's license for 40 or 50 years that potentially require some retraining. That would be mandatory. And the next recommendation is to utilize DMV to educate drivers on a more frequent basis throughout their lives, if there's new traffic laws or for example, if people come to the state and apply for a license from other states, potentially they might need to take training to get their license in Connecticut. And then we have, I think, one more. Utilize the Department of Public Health to educate the public about traffic safety issues, such as DUI issues and prescription drug driving with the medication and that sort of thing, and marijuana, all those issues that are prevalent right now. And I think that's the last one. Do I have another slide? The last slide I have is this. If you want more information, certainly you can contact me. And I have a little more information, but also on their website, this, if you type in Connecticut Vision Zero Council, this is the webpage from the DOT. And there are other documents that explain some of these recommendations. So I just wanted to highlight, give you a taste of what they are recommending. And that's what I have, John. Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the bipartisan infrastructure bill, Elizabeth and Kyle.
First off, thank you. We included two memos in the packet, as well as a request that if you could share any information about existing applications that have gone out in your communities, that would be great. We're working with the state of Connecticut on just opening lines of communication, and so that we're all on the same page of understanding what applications are being submitted within each region. The first memo is a new funding opportunity that I'll get into a little bit. The second is an existing opportunity that's been around. And then there's also a third, hot off the press Friday, I found a new opportunity that came up from the Federal Railroad Administration of a notice of funding opportunity for a federal state partnership for intercity passenger rail program that's not part of the Northeast Corridor. But no information from that will be available to. And there's also been some website updates as well last week to include some new information. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a note about the packet in your memo, the RAISE memo. Caveat on that, after the packet went out to you guys, federal DOT updated the NOFO. So there's a few more wrinkles you still need to digest and work through. I'll post an updated memo. And we'll get that to you through the usual channels. Overall, I'd say, you know, there's supposed to be some guidance on the eligible projects and the merit criteria in the application, but I'll update that and we'll get it out to you. Overall, RAISE is a good opportunity. Minimum award of 1 million in rural areas, 5 million in urbanized areas. So if you have a shovel-ready project, it's a good opportunity, and we will provide the updated NOFO summary to you as soon as we can. Thanks.
Thank you both. Any questions? Roger, back to you with one of our favorite targets, conduct safety right. Targets.
Right. Thank you, John. So our annually, we are given safety targets from the Connecticut DOT. And as a metropolitan planning organization, we are required to either support the state DOT's targets or develop our own. So on this memo packet, we have outlined the targets that I have a table showing the targets that were developed and supported by DOT over the last few years. This year's targets in 2023, the five targets, number of fatalities, 270 is the target. That's the same as last year. All of these conduct chose to use the same as the previous year. As explained in the attachment analysis. Their methodology is explained. The second target is the fatality rate for 100 million vehicle miles of 0.85. Number three is the number of serious injuries, 1,300. Number four, the serious injury rate per 100 million vehicle miles of travel, 0.4.3. And number five is the number of non-motorist fatalities and serious injuries is 280. So we are suggesting that the action we take, and I understand that our next meeting in January to formally support an endorsement of this that would be then adopted by the policy board. And again, the details are in the attachment, and the draft resolution is also in the packet materials.
Thank you, Roger. Do we know the or will we know the actuals for 2023 when we meet in January?
They won't be finalized. They won't be finalized then. But I can supply what information I have. Certainly, like I know our number of fatalities, unfortunately, are, you know, the target is 270. This year is over 300 already to date.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Connecticut Municipal ADA Compliance Assessment, a deadline extension. Jacob.
Hi, y'all. Hope everyone's doing all right. This is just another memo to do the ADA compliance survey. It's real quick, only two pages. It's attached in the memo, so please do it. 17 of our towns have already done it, so we thank you all for doing that. But yeah, just get this done really quickly. In addition to this, on January 26th, there's going to be an ADA requirements and transition planning meeting that DOT is holding. It's for like a conversation-based kind of situation. Thursday, January 26th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you're interested in that, feel free to reach out to me. And if you haven't seen the email and stuff like that, then I'll get you more information. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. Any questions, folks?
Oh, also the deadline has been extended through December, just to give you a heads up. That's it.
Chris, the trip project solicitation.
Oh, thank you all. Thank you, John. Good afternoon to everyone. So last month we put out our request for proposals for projects related to the TRIP program. Because of some deadline extensions and some modifications to the program from CONDOT, we, instead of having a very, very, very tight turnaround for getting projects, they extended the deadline. So now we need to submit our projects to the department at the end of April. And so for that, please, if you're going to apply, please submit to us by 3 p.m. on Friday, February 10th. I just want to give a quick heads up to some of the changes, some of the most, the biggest changes that were made to from CONDOT side towards the program. One thing that they did mention was that instead of having the sidewalks only be eligible, sidewalks and multi-use trails only be eligible in rural areas, they extended those to sidewalk projects are eligible throughout the entire town. And roadway rehabilitations are still only eligible for roadways that fall within the rural town boundary. This is according to CONDOT's functional classification database, which we have a link to on our website. But the standalone sidewalks and multi-use trails are now eligible throughout your town, which is a big which is a nice and big change. So some of the things that we lobbied for in our comment letter were addressed. So that's cool. We like that. But anyway, if you could, if you're going to apply, please have your projects submitted to us by February 10th at 3 p.m. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. So, Toria, 2023 project solicitation for lots.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So, on December 7th, CROC issued an RFP for the LOTSIP solicitation. So these are for proposals for the for transportation improvement projects, and the solicitation was for $33.75 million. So we're hoping to receive projects, multiple projects for this purpose. So something that's new, CROG is offering a voluntary pre-application workshop on Monday, January 23rd. And this is at 11 a.m. prior to our TC meeting. So this is in lieu of the subcommittee meeting. We're gonna have the, workshop. And this is to highlight project elements, hopefully to improve application submission for, you know, rating submission. So, and we also want to review the new cost estimating, cost estimate template. So we'd like to do that on the January 23rd. In addition to that, last solicitation, we had a free voluntary pre-application pavement treatment opinion. And this is by a pavement expert, pre-vetted by CONDA and approved by CROG. And if you're interested in receiving an opinion, we ask that you complete the pavement condition and needs assessment request form by January 9th, and then we will turn it around by January 23rd, so you can include that in your application. Applications are pretty much the same as other solicitations. We've asked for the application, the pedestrian needs assessment form, the estimate template, and the complete streets compliance form. We are also looking at two proposals per municipality if you wish to submit two, and the maximum per municipality is $4 million, which is up from the last time. And this is all identified in the selection policy that was approved in October. The submissions or proposals are due on February 22nd at 2 p.m. And we're asking for electronic and for a couple of hard copies.
Thank you, Sartoria. Any questions? Just remember, this will be implementing the new policies that we adopted at our prior meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sartoria. All right, Kara, commuter parking lots utilization. Anyone using them?
Some, and some more than April. So we did, again, out in October, went and did our biannual commuter lot utilization counts. What we saw this fall was a 7% increase over April of 22, which is not nothing. We're more than double the usage that we saw in 2020 and 2021. However, we are still a little less than half of pre-COVID numbers. So it is an improvement over recent history, but is still a substantial decline from the before times. So
have they shut down any of the lots, or are they still using all the lots, even though utilization is way down?
They're still up and running and available. There's not a ton. Well, they're still maintaining them. We did, as part of these counts, we also do a kind of a high level assessment of condition. Some of the lots have been painted and striped in the past couple of years. They're maintaining them, so they are still committed. There is a new lot in West Hartford that I think will be going online fairly soon as well. And when I drive by, it looks more and more done every time. So there might be actually an additional lot with the next round of counts.
How about transportation service? How about bus service?
They've maintained it recently. They actually re-implemented some commuter service in Covington a couple months ago, and we did actually then see a bump in rider in usage in the lot, because in April the Southington lot had only had 24 cars, and this fall it had 71, and in that gap of time, the service went back in. The express route service went back in. So that was kind of an on-the-ground demonstration that folks will still use the bus service if it is available.
And am I correct, that bus service is not part of the free bus service on Connecticut Transit?
Nope, the express service is free as well.
Oh, okay.
Yep, express, fast track, and local, all free.
Such a deal.
It's a great deal.
It is. Why don't you continue?
Room with in the parking lots, if people want to take advantage of it.
Oh, sorry.
John, did you want Kara to ask to speak to the letters of support? Or would you like me to do that? Matt Hart here.
Either way, Matt.
Well, Kara, I was going to touch on it anyhow, so why don't I just do it?
Perfect.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Matt Hart here. John, I've got half a dozen items or so. First of all, very pleased that both the Connecticut DOT as well as the Mass DOT are seeking CRISI funds to upgrade the Hartford line. You know, here in Connecticut, the Connecticut DOT, as the letter explains, as the application cover letter explains, they are looking to expand on the double tracking to a very significant degree, and that would allow the DOT to expand the number of trips between Hartford and the Springfield area. And then secondly, the Mass DOT is working in earnest on its section of the line, what's referred to the east-west section or the east-west connection from Springfield and east to Worcester, and with eventual connection to Boston. So again, just very pleased that both DOTs are working in earnest to upgrade the line and to expand capacity. You know, our goal, as you know, is to have that strong connection to the north to Springfield, but also east to Boston through Worcester. And it'd be great to establish that. And we have that existing connection to New York City through New Haven. So once that's fully built out, you know, we'll be in a much more competitive position. Moving on, just to add to Elizabeth and Kyle's comments from earlier regarding the bipartisan infrastructure law. I know everyone, you've probably started, or maybe you're well along in terms of preparing your capital improvement programs for the coming year. Really would like to see you, or recommend that you keep the BIL opportunities in mind, particularly Safe Streets for All and the bridge and culvert work and related opportunities, and looking to budget the 20% match to the extent to which you can in your upcoming CIP. I know that's a challenge, but we certainly have an opportunity over the next 4 years, and really want to encourage everyone to take advantage of those opportunities to the extent to which we can. Next item I have is, and some of you have been involved in this thus far, the Municipal Services Committee has engaged or started a conversation regarding regional approaches to stormwater management. And I'm sure that impacts many of the people in today's meeting. You know, those of you who are dealing with street flooding, MS4 responsibilities, et cetera. So we started a conversation about regional approaches here. I want to thank Maureen Goulet from our team. She has worked to submit two applications totaling approximately $500,000 to the state's Climate Resilience Fund, looking for funding to enable us to engage some professional expertise to conduct an inventory of existing stormwater infrastructure, and then to identify some preliminary regional solutions. Next item I had, I know there was a question last time about CROG's legislative agenda. We do have a proposed legislative agenda that we're presenting to our policy board this Wednesday, 2 days from now. A couple of items on there I think that would be important to the Transportation Committee One is that we are requesting some relief or some support to that local 20% match for bipartisan infrastructure law opportunities that I talked about just a few seconds ago. In particular, we are going to be recommending to the state, how can we be creative in terms of counting other state grants and assistance that the state is providing to its municipalities as part of that match? So we'll be certainly looking for that. A second item we have included is a reference to the Vision Zero Council, which Roger reviewed in detail earlier in this meeting. And we're making a general reference that CROG would support the recommendations, the legislative recommendations coming from the council overall. So Roger talked about the recommendations from the various committees. I imagine that the council will review those in total and narrow its platform somewhat. So those are two items that we've referenced for our legislative agenda. And then just two other things. I'm very happy to introduce Laura Rosenbluth. I don't know if Laura has been able to attend a meeting of this group just yet. Laura, if you want to wave hello. Laura is the new executive assistant in my office, and she's coming to us with great experience working at the Berlin Public Schools and in other organizations as well. And she's been able to hit the ground running, and it's great to have Laura on our team. Last but certainly not least, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy holidays with your family and those close to you. Appreciate your service to the Transportation Committee, the good work and leadership that you provide to us all year round. That's it for me, John. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Right back at you on the holiday wishes. Any other staff reports, folks?
That's it, John.
Thank you, Kara. All right, Rob, the STBG programming discussion.
Yeah, recently we had our annual STBG meeting with CONDOT to review what was in that funding source. Now, STBG, you might be more familiar with it as STP Urban, but the name did change actually a couple federal bills ago, but it's hard to get rid of old ways of saying things. So STBG is the old STP Urban, and CONDOT, as always, handed us a list of projects which are in this memo that they would like to see programmed, and they would like to see TIP amendments for us to approve. They're not putting them on TIP amendments this month, but they would like to get our opinions on them or get our okay to send those over to us. As you know, previously, we did have total control of programming, or almost total control of programming STP Urban funds, but that had been replaced by state LOTSIT funding, which had the same eligibility. And in return for that funding, we ceded some of the controls over the STP Urban program to CONDOT, and they've been using it for programming on state roadways since then. However, we did maintain two controls, and we have been over the past years. Now, LOTSIT passed in 2014, so that's getting on 8 years now. The two controls we've maintained was to limit what we approved for our TIP to 1 year beyond the current year. And that was always in consideration that LOTSIP was a new funding source. We were afraid that it would go away or not be supported long-term. So we didn't want to give up that room in the STP Urban program in case projects had to make their way back into that funding source. And secondly, we came up with an internal decision at CROG that STBG should be used for our minor arterial or major arterials that weren't freeways or lower class roadways, collectors and such. So those were the two kind of constraints that we've been holding on to. And CONDOT has indicated in this meeting we recently had that they're a bit problematic for their needs to program out to the future, especially with the amount of funding under the recent bill that's come about. They're really trying to fund a program a little bit longer term. And so they wanted us to consider the following things in us relaxing those two rules. Since the inception of LOTSIP, that the state has consistently funded it at levels at least equal to the SDP urban. Also, that CONDOT recently submitted its biennial budget request to CONDOT with the increased amounts that were seen in the recent bill legislation. They submitted that to the governor in their recent budget request, which is a fairly significant increase over prior. So that would mean LOTSIP would go up 13 and 16% in each of the next 2 years compared to current levels. And then they cited the success and support for and stability of LOTSIP. And they also wanted to emphasize that TIP funding is never permanent, that if we do program it and something catastrophic were to happen, we could always unprogram those funds. And then finally, one of their difficulties with the whole thing is that STBG funds, they like to program them early because they are difficult to identify because their eligibility criteria not only includes the type of project, but is constrained to a location. Unlike some other statewide sources where they can use anywhere in the state, these have to be in the Hartford urbanized area. So with that said, their request is for us to allow them to program 3 years ahead of current years. And they provided a list of projects that they would like to see us consider for TIP amendments. And I did note that one of them is on a freeway, which is Route 15, or Wilbur Cross in Wethersfield, a bridge project. And the rest do appear to be projects like we typically program for STBG and typically approve. One is outside of our region, that is on a freeway also on Route 9 in Middletown, although it's sort of a freeway because there's lights there and what they're looking to do is remove the lights in Middletown. But we have no say over that. That's part of RiverCOG, even though it's in the Hartford TMA, it's not part of our jurisdiction. So in all, that is what they would like us to consider, three years of programming. There's certainly room for us to discuss and maybe compromise if needed. We could go for 2 years of programming, or if we consider 3 years appropriate, we could go 3 years in the future. They did submit the budget for the two following years, so we could do two to match that. And then with the freeway item, we have approved a freeway in the past, but it was a one-off basis due to a programming issue. We approved Route 3 bridge over Putnam Bridge over Connecticut River because CONDOT was having a problem finding programming. What I would suggest, if we want to have a compromise there, we could say we will consider freeway projects on a one-off basis and have them reviewed independently, not as part of a block of approval of this committee. So those are two potential compromises, or obviously, we could make them very happy and give them 3 years and freeway projects. So I would open it up to discussion with that in mind.
Thank you, Rob. Comments? I don't hear any comments. My sense, Rob, is I would be most comfortable with 2 years and project by project decision making on freeways. I think that the 2 years is in line with the budget request they make to CONDOT. I mean, they make to the legislature, and that I just am not fully comfortable just letting. I'm just would be concerned that freeway projects would over time, because they're the big ones and the ones that take the most funds and the ones that often are the most important, would begin to consume that money, which I think would not be necessarily the best thing for the municipalities in terms of their major state roads.
John, anyway, Russell.
Go ahead, Russ.
I apologize. I was having trouble unmuting. I agree that I think we should keep it limited to the 2 years, and then look at if they have a freeway project like we did with the Putnam Bridge, look at those as a one-off and continue with that.
Thank you, Russ. Anyone else?
This is Jeff Doolittle. I agree also with that suggestion. And I want to add that freeway projects are very extensive and time consuming. So I think, although Krog says we could unfund TIP projects, it would be very difficult to unfund a freeway project. So I don't think we should give them all those.
Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else? Do I sense that there's not objection, there's a consensus among the committee to agree with the comments made to date that we would be most comfortable with a two-year programming and one-offs on the freeway projects?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
Great.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That seems to be it, Rob. Do you need a vote at all, or is that sufficient?
I think that's sufficient. What will happen from here is kind of we'll prepare the appropriate documentation for our potential approval to get 2 years in instead of, like in the past, we had 1 year at a time. So they'll prepare that for the next 2 years.
And is the staff comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. We'll move on to the TIP amendments, Rob.
Okay, we have three TIP amendments in front of you. Unlike the agenda, only lists two of them, but inside the packet, you'll see a third was added late. So we have three TIP amendments in front of you. The first one is for a bridge on Main Street in Hartford, and it's the bridge over the Whitehead Highway. So that, if you travel to Whitehead, you know it's an old arch bridge that was over the Park River before it became a Park River conduit and before there was a highway there. So that's in need of some repair. It's using National Highway Performance Program funds, which is a bridge, which is an appropriate funding source. So I see no issues with that. It's also using bridge formula funding for the construction phase, which I see no issues with that. So that's for design and construction, 1A through 1C. The second is a bridge formula program funding source, which is for concrete sealer on various bridges across the state, 235 bridges in all. So that's a maintenance issue, and I see no issues with that. And the third is a study that was added through one of our last quarter study solicitations, a study that Canton was awarded for SDP urban funds. And so this is to fund that Canton study through CROG. And I think we have an RFQ out and we're looking for consultants at the moment. So we need the funding to be approved for that.
Thank you, Rob. On the Hartford Bridge, is that the Main Street Bridge as opposed to the Prospect Street Bridge?
It is Main Street, yes.
Okay. Any questions? Comments?
Make a motion to approve the TIP as presented.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Dan Pennington.
Thank you, Dan. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? The motion passed as proposed. Thank you all. Thank you, Rob. And now our meeting schedule for 2023. Kara.
Thanks, John. So in the mailing was a proposed meeting schedule for this committee for 2023. It follows what we've been doing, which is generally the Monday before policy board with adjustments for holidays. We're also proposing to continue with the generally virtual format with the quarterly hybrid meetings as we started in September and are doing one today. One item to note is February got a little bit of an oddity. The Monday before policy board is President's Day. The Monday before that is Lincoln's birthday, which is also a holiday for a number of our towns as well as the DOT. So our proposal is to have the February meeting on a Tuesday on the 14th. Other than that, it's sort of a standard schedule. So we would be looking for committee approval and action on this with the understanding that the policy board actually has not yet solidified their meeting schedule for 2023. That'll be taking place on Wednesday. So if for some reason that schedule were to change, we may have to come back in January with some adjustments to this. We don't foresee that happening, but it is a very small possibility.
Thank you, Kara. Any questions? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve our meeting schedule for next year.
Chairman, I'll approve the meeting. Oh, second.
Rob Trottier.
Go, Rob. Patrice Carson for the second.
Got that, Karen?
Yes, John.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any discussion? All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen. Thank you. Okay, Rob. Metropolitan Transportation Plan update.
Yes, we have begun updating our our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. We branded it Next 2050 because it's going to look out at a long range to 2050 with transportation needs and try to address them. Next slide. So within the CROC Planning Department, we have three major plans. One is the Regional Plan of Conservation and Development. That is actually due for an update over the next few years. The Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, which is being updated now, and the Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which we are underway updating. It's a federally mandated document, the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. It has to comply with USDOT regulations. Our current plan is Connect 2045, which we approved in 2019. It has to be updated every 4 years. So this is our 4 year cycle. And we held our initial public meetings for this new Connect 2050 on November 16th and 17th. And I do want to point out that on our website, I don't know if it's just audio or video and audio. It's probably video and audio, right, Kara?
It's just audio, but the presentation slides.
Okay, the presentation slides and audio from those are up there. And I'm going to give a brief, a shortened presentation of what was presented then, just because I don't want to waste all of your time, and you can look at the original meetings if you'd like. We do have a website up. I'll show that at the end, and there's opportunity for public comment. There's also a survey that's active right now, so there's an opportunity for you to get your opinions in there. This plan has to be done in spring of this year, and so we're looking at a draft plan to be completed in the February timeframe. And we'll have an official 30-day public comment period before looking for action on the plan through this committee and ultimately the policy board. So I wanted to get you up to date on what we're thinking and get any thoughts from anybody online here after this presentation and certainly through our website. The other thing is that it must incorporate a performance-based, data-driven process the plan must incorporate. So next slide, I'll say a little bit about the performance-based planning. Roger mentioned to you the recent safety targets. All these are on cycles. Most of them are on a four-year cycle, although safety is on an every-year cycle. And what it does is not only give us an opportunity to set targets and things to shoot for, but also to monitor what's happening so that we can try to address it. So safety, as you saw, as Roger alluded to, this is the area where we're having the most issues recently. Fatalities are up significantly, as I'll show in a second, and it's really problematic. So that we're looking to that as one of our emphasis areas in this plan moving forward. Performance of the system is better than it used to be, and that's mainly due to COVID. There's less traffic out there, so performance as far as congestion and delay goes is better than in 2019 when we last, that's on a four-year cycle, so that we're reporting on this coming spring also. So we're still waiting for that to normalize post-COVID. Infrastructure is generally in good condition, in better condition than it was last time, if you take into consideration just the poorest of the pavement conditions and bridge conditions. We have less pavement and bridges in poor condition than we did 4 years ago. Transit assets are maintaining fairly consistently. And we have two new measures that are coming up that'll be reported on for the first time. And those are, we have to report this spring on percent of non-single occupancy vehicles. That's how many people are driving that are, you know, just single occupancy versus more than one person in a car. And then peak hour excessive delay per capita is another measure we have to report on coming up. So these are very technical explanations, but that would fall under the performance category as the performance of the system and how access is. So the next slide focuses on the issue that we're facing. And these are some pretty sobering numbers. If you look, and this is only through October 4th, so this is not quite up to date at all, but you could see that where the trends were and where they were going at that time, and they've continued on this pretty seriously bad path as far as fatalities are concerned. Some of the other metrics as far as serious injuries aren't showing this type of trend, but fatalities are certainly very, very concerning. We had, just as from a historical perspective, fatalities were at their worst at around 1970 in the country, as far as raw numbers go in that time frame. And they've declined ever since then with seatbelts and other safety features in cars and roadside safety. And they hit a low about a little more than a decade ago. And then they, around a decade ago, but then they've taken an alarming trend since then, especially since COVID, they've taken a very alarming trend. And you can see every mode is up this past year over the 5 years average prior to that. And some of the contributing factors that we know of, and nobody is quite certain to the percentage that each one of these factors in, but some things we're seeing is higher speeds on the road. We're seeing most of the traffic counting stations show twice as many people traveling over 85 miles an hour. And you've probably seen that as you drive around. And for whatever reason, whether it's less people on the road during COVID, people got used to no enforcement being out there, but speeds are higher. Speaking on the enforcement issue, traffic infractions are down from over 400,000 annually, I think it was 5 years ago, to just over 100,000 this past year. So that's down significantly and that might be contributing to the higher speeds. Distracted driving is an issue in our lives now. Distracted walking, distracted. I even saw someone looking at their phone on a bicycle. Distractions are everywhere these days, which are contributing factors. DUIs in Connecticut, 40% of these fatalities are DUIs. If you want to think about that for a second, 40%. And that's higher than the national average of 28%. So that plays into effect to some of the items coming out of the Vision Zero Council regarding ability in Connecticut to have open containers in a car, things of that nature. DUI is a big problem in this state. Obviously there's other issues like larger vehicles these days compared to pedestrians, cyclists, they have a more of an impact on a pedestrian and cyclist if it's a larger vehicle hitting them. So there's a number of issues that are contributing to this. So I just wanted to highlight that one performance measure because that's the most glaring one. So back to the MTP and what we have to do. These are the federal requirements. This is what we must address, these four items. Mobility and access, that's the core of transportation, right? Performance-based planning, I just spoke to that. Innovative funding, we have to be able to fund our projects. And we have to, in this plan, it has to be fiscally constrained. So we have a budget, what we expect to have for federal dollars over the next, it's a little bit of a shot in the dark, but it's an educated guess of what we can expect over the next 6 years will be till this is due. We have to be within that budget. Next page. These are the items we must consider
And you can read down the bulleted list there, starting with economic vitality. We have to consider all these items per the federal law. Now, up in the right corner is what kind of the focus areas that this current administration is very interested in. Climate change mitigation, resilience, equity, and safety for all users. That's some of the feedback we got during our federal certification review. PROG does receive its planning funds from the federal government, and we follow their rules. And we take, when they highlight certain things, we take it very seriously. So with that in mind, the next slide shows what we hope to focus a little more intently on in this next MTP during this update. Sustainability, and you can see, you know, I've kept up there the DOT's current focuses. Of course, we're going to keep our eye on all the things we usually do, but these are things with some additional emphasis in this MTP: sustainability, safety, and equity. Next slide. I have on here the table of contents from our last Metropolitan Transportation Plan and sort of where the major changes would lie. Now, of course, some of these issues span all these chapters, but in general, I think, you know, I'm showing here what the main changes would be under certain areas of our report chapter-wise. Then if we go to the next page, I just want to talk a bit about process and federal process as far as how things get done. In order for things to get on the tip, generally they have to be referenced in the Metropolitan Transportation Plan or specifically called out as a larger project in our project list. So here you'll see the project list from last, or part of, very small part of the project list from last time that was in our MTP. What happens is every 4 years, we add projects into this list with every update, and we take out the projects that have been completed. Now, that doesn't mean we get to select right now, cherry pick projects out of the air, because projects that go into this list have to go through air quality conformity. They have to be vetted projects through a planning process, a federal planning process. They have to have costs. It's a long process to get some of these large projects approved and through the whole federal planning system. So if we go to the next slide, what we really focus on each 4 years is what we're going to plan for next, because what we planned, the planning documents that we completed since the last MTP, the projects that came out of that are going to go into the project list. So really what we can affect for this next MTP is what we study going forward. So this is a little overview of the transportation planning process, and it starts with studies, and they go through a public process, and they have to meet the MTP goals. And then after those studies are completed and the next round of MTP, we include those vetted projects in the MTP. And those have to be studied, supported, fiscally constrained, and achieving air quality conformity. We're in a non-attainment zone for ozone. And so everything has to be modeled for air quality conformity. We have a budget for that also. So that's part of the process too. So I don't want to make it sound too confusing, but it is confusing. Rob,
I got to jump off for another CROG meeting. So Patrice, if you could just wind up the meeting when Rob has completed his presentation. And again, happy holidays to you all. And may you have a great 2023. And thank you all for your support and participation, both for your own municipalities, but for the region as a whole. Be well and be safe.
Same to you, John. I'd be happy to take over.
Thank you, John.
So once we get those vetted projects from transportation studies, we come to you all, to approve them for the TIP. And as you know, we just approved some TIP amendments, but generally every 4 years, there's a large package of TIP, a TIP overhaul. So that happens every 4 years. And then, you know, of course we have amendments beyond that periodically. Then of course, you know, once they're in the TIP, they're scheduled for design and construction and right away. So that's the process. So what we really impact going forward this 4 years, or what we really have a chance to change going forward with your comments now, or what we plan for
and what kind of planning studies we do over the next 4 years, that which projects come out of to go into TED. So next slide. So this is what we're planning to potentially some of the new transportation studies we're looking at for our next work plan or our next couple work plans that are effective under this new MTP. On the right are core tasks that we have in all of our work plans and that we maintain them all the time. But on the left are special projects or potential new special transportation projects. One, we want to look at a regional bike ped network prioritization plan. We have a number of documents for multi-use trails and for complete streets. Our focus and our priority for multi-use trails has been completing the East Coast Greenway. We have that in planning all the way. We have the whole thing either constructed, designed, or in planning right now. So we need to look on to our next set of priorities for bike and ped infrastructure. And what we need is to build off of that backbone, more complete and more extensive network of both multi-use trails combined with priority complete streets linkages. So that is one of the thoughts for a study coming up. Another that we're concerned about is warehousing and distribution. As you know, we're in a e-commerce world right now. Warehousing and distribution landscape is changing rapidly. We need to make sure that these facilities are located appropriately for our transportation system and for our town's needs land use wise. So that's another potential. Next, an equity burden and benefit analysis. We do a TIP equity analysis every 4 years. However, our methodology could use updating and could use improvement. So the thought is to, and our programming based on equity and benefits and burdens could be improved. So that would be a study we would undertake to guide us to make sure that everybody benefits from our transportation system and shares the benefits and the burdens, and nobody disproportionately bears them. Regional electric vehicle plan. This is a thought that depending on, we have to coordinate with the state. The state is doing an EV plan right now. They're doing a phase, they've just done a phase one that's been approved. They have to do a phase two plan. We're going to have to work with DOT on if any gaps in phase two that need to be filled in. We would want to look at the region from that standpoint as far as an electric vehicle. And this really means charging stations and charging facilities and making sure that we are ready for any changes in, you know, mass changes in the marketplace with EVs. Regional transportation safety plan update. I mentioned safety is a major issue. We have applied for funding for this through a grant opportunity. We're not sure if we're going to get that grant, but obviously if we don't get it, we want to somehow update our regional safety plan. It has up it's years. It looks at accident data is starting to get a bit outdated. We also have a roundabout study, which is a safety initiative going on now that we'd like to incorporate into that plan. So those are some of the areas and some of the ideas we have going forward. And I mentioned the three areas of focus: sustainability, equity, and safety. So that was our thoughts going forward. It was to try to address both the current trends and FHWA's certification review comments we got from them. And so next page, we're updating this plan now. I think I mentioned that the draft should be out in early February, but we're trying to get feedback along the way. We had two public meetings, and we would like your feedback any way we can get it, whether it's on our website or here, or if you want to email Kara or give her a call, she'd be happy to lend an ear. So if there's any comments, we appreciate it.
Are there any comments? Thanks, Rob, for the presentation. I can't see everybody, so I'll count on Kara or somebody to let me know. Anybody has any comments?
Dan Pennington, just one comment on the potential studies that Rob listed. I found the list very impressive. I thought it was a list of very relevant topics and on target with current important trends. So fully support those initiatives.
Thanks, Dan.
Patrice, I just had one comment, Rob Trottier. Sure. With regard to the safety component, I didn't see anything which mentioned, a decrease in enforcement. Without enforcement, no matter what changes we make on the road to the road, it's not going to be safe. Is there any way, a study could be done to quantify, where are we at with enforcement levels now versus where they were 10 years ago when crashes were the lowest?
I'm not sure. Did you hear? I mentioned that we went from 400,000 traffic violations annually to now just over 100,000.
So, I heard that. So we're down. So we are down 300,000. Is that what you're saying?
Almost 300,000. Yeah. And I think in the Vision Zero, there was a thought that they're suggesting automated enforcement. And Raj, do you know more about that? Are they talking about beefing up typical enforcement too, or?
Well, they have the one emphasis is to have the high visibility blitzes so that they'd have a focused, this is a state police would have a focused group to do high visibility enforcement in areas that have been identified as high crash locations. So that's one of their recommendations. I think in general, everything I hear is that there's major problems with difficulties on the state level and local level with recruiting new enforcement officers, retaining existing state and local officers. The enforcement community is strained, is just one overarching issue with enforcement.
Right. I just think it's it should be mentioned in the report.
In the safety plan, definitely.
Right. And even getting some numbers. How many proactive tickets are there being issued versus tickets that are being issued because there was an accident?
Right.
It's the proactive enforcement that I think is way, way off. Not just issuing tickets.
Good comment.
Thanks, Rob. Any other comments? I don't see any or hear any. I assume you'll take comments via email or otherwise. Rob, yes?
Yes, the email is on the screen there, and this presentation, I believe, we'll put it up on our website, correct? So.
Is there anything else from CROG staff or any other business from any of the members today?
Nothing from us.
I'm sorry, Kara?
Said nothing from us. Okay.
And I don't see anything from anybody else, and I will echo the happy holidays sentiment from John and hope everybody has a wonderful and safe holiday and New Year, and we'll see you in the New Year.
You as well.
Motion to adjourn. Thanks, Kirk.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second, please.
There you are. All right. All in favor? Aye.
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 It's my favorite part is all the ayes. All right, guys. Have a great, great holiday.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks.